Chapter 66, The Second Death.
Satan seems paralyzed as he beholds the glory and majesty of Christ. He who was once a covering cherub remembers whence he has fallen. A shining seraph, son of the morning. How changed, how degraded. Satan sees that his voluntary rebellion has unfitted him for heaven. He has trained his powers to war against God. The purity, peace, and harmony of heaven would be to him supreme torture. His accusations against the mercy and justice of God are now silenced. The reproach which he has endeavored to cast upon Jehovah rests wholly upon himself. And now Satan bows down and confesses the justice of his sentence. Every question of truth and error in the long-standing controversy is made plain. God's justice stands fully vindicated. Before the whole world is clearly presented the great sacrifice made by the Father and the Son in man's behalf. The hour has come when Christ occupies his rightful position and is glorified above principalities and powers and every name that is named. Notwithstanding, Satan has been constrained to acknowledge God's justice and to bow to the supremacy of Christ. His character remains unchanged. The spirit of rebellion, like a mighty torrent against, bursts forth. Filled with frenzy, he determines not to yield the great controversy. The time has come for a last, desperate struggle against the King of Heaven. He rushes into the midst of his subjects and endeavors to inspire them with his own fury and arouse them to instant battle. But all the countless millions whom he has allured into rebellion, there are none now to acknowledge his supremacy. His power is at an end. The wicked are filled with the same hatred of God that inspires Satan. But they see that their case is hopeless, that they cannot prevail against Jehovah. Their rage is kindled against Satan and those who have been his agents in deception. And with the fury of demons, they turn upon them. And there follows a scene of universal strife. Then are fulfilled the words of the prophet. The indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Quote from Isaiah 34, the second verse. And another quote. Upon the wicked he shall rain quick burning coals, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. From Psalms 11, the sixth verse. Fire comes down from God out of heaven. The earth is broken up. The weapons concealed in its depths are drawn forth. Devouring flames burst from every yawning chasm. The very rocks are on fire. The day has come that shall burn as an oven. From Malachi 4, the first verse. The elements melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, are burned up. From 2 Peter 3, the 10th verse. The fire of Tophet is prepared for the king, the chief of rebellion. The pile thereof is deep and large, and the breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. From Isaiah 30, the 33rd verse. The earth's surface seems one molten mass, a vast, seething lake of fire. It is the time of the judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. The day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. From Isaiah 34, the 8th verse. The wicked receive their recompense in the earth. They shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. Malachi 4, the first verse. Some are destroyed as in a moment, while others suffer many days. All are punished according to their deeds. The sin of the righteous have been transferred to Satan, the originator of evil, who must bear their penalty. Footnote. This suffering of Satan is in no sense a vicarious atonement, as indicated in a previous chapter. As man's substitute and surety, the iniquity of men was laid upon Christ. But after those who accept Christ's sacrifice have been redeemed, it is certainly just that Satan, the originator of sin, should suffer the final punishment. As Mrs. White has said elsewhere, when the work of atonement in the heavenly sanctuary has been completed, then in the presence of God and heavenly angels and the host of the redeemed, the sins of God's people will be placed upon Satan. He will be declared guilty of all the evil which he has caused them to commit. This from The Great Controversy, page 658. Thus, he is made to suffer not only for his own rebellion, but for all the sins which he has caused God's people to commit. His punishment is to be far greater than that of those whom he has deceived. After all have perished who fell by his deceptions, he is still to live and suffer on. In the cleansing flames, the wicked are at last destroyed, root and branch. Satan, the root. His followers, the branches. The justice of God is satisfied, and the saints and all the angelic host say with a loud voice, Amen. While the earth is wrapped in the fire of God's vengeance, the righteous abide safely in the holy city. Upon those that had part in the first resurrection, the second death has no power. From Revelation 20, the sixth verse. While God is to the wicked a consuming fire, he is to his people both a sun and a shield. From Psalms 84, the 11th verse.